There's one scripture in the Bible that says that when I release you from the graves, you will know. He was talking to Israel. He was saying, when I finally lift your bodies out of the grave, you're going to know who I am. I'm your Lord and God. But I think the Lord has a conspiracy. I think he is on to doing something bigger than, here we go again. Time, just wait a second. Wait for it. What God is doing. You heard of the Babylon Bee? People who chuckle, you know they've heard of it. It's satire on the internet. They're taking stories and distributing them to you. They're satire. You can tell by the articles that they are on about conspiracy theories, and they're trying to get you to think beyond what you're seeing in the fake news. Here's one. A man identifies as a six-year-old crushes a game-winning homer in the T-ball championship. You know what he's getting at. You know what they're getting at, right? I just heard again the other day an NCAA run by a transgender, one for the women. So they know that there's a conspiracy, something bigger than we even see on fake news is going on in the world, because you can look, there's just four of the stories. Lego introduces new sharper bricks that instantly kill you when you step on them. To avoid problems with lyrics, slides, innovative churches print out songs and compiles them into a book, which is called a hymnal, which the church has been using for hundreds of years. Google Maps developers apologize for a bug that instructs conservatives to drive off a cliff. Conspiracies. They're trying to get you to think about them. They're trying to get you to not listen to the fake news, or at least when you do, think deeper than what you see on the title. Because there's all kinds of conspiracies. Did you know that the Flat Earth Society still lives? Did you know that these people and others don't believe that there was a moon landing? And that there's been, what, four or five countries that landed on the moon now? And several have circled, and everybody's in one big conspiracy, a lie. There's a man who wrote a book, Dallas Willard. He wrote The Divine Conspiracy about a decade or two ago, discovering our hidden life in God. He does talk about some of the kingdom now thinking and some of those kinds of things, and not too deep, but what he does want the people to understand is that there's things going on behind the scenes that you and I need to be aware of. There's more going on in the heavenly realms and even on earth than we could understand. And in fact, God is behind most of it. The principalities and the powers are behind most of it. God has an agenda. In fact, he has a conspiracy. Dallas Willard writes, he likens life in the kingdom of man to flying an airplane upside down. Compared to the informed citizens of the kingdom of God, who by life in God and knowledge of him fly their planes right side up. Willard suggests we be careful by using our eyes, because there's so much more behind the scenes, both spiritually and if you want to talk about deep state and the news and all throughout. It runs the gamut, both physical and spiritual. Psalms 14:3 says, man is corrupt. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. You realize that when we take our first breath in life, we already begin to die. We were born in a corrupt state, and we will die in a corrupt state unless God has a conspiracy, unless God has a plan. And he has a plan. The question is, are we going to know it? And are we going to share it with those who don't know it? And many who don't really want to know it because we're corrupt. Sin affects and has infected all of life, and it only leads to death, spiritual death and physical death. But that's the end. What is going on between the day you die, you know, that, what do they say, that hyphen in between the day you were born and the day you die? What's going on in there? Corrupt death, conspiracy on both sides. On both sides. Somebody is out to corrupt you and kill you. Corrupt us and take our lives. But the Lord is not going to let it happen. And he's done things in his word and by his word to show us that him and his Father are onto something. They're doing something. And we need to realize that we're not going to find out the day we die. We can find out now. We can know what he's doing now. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Isn't it interesting that Paul is right? He's writing that when he's alive. He's writing that just a short time into his ministry. He's just kind of getting going. And he's writing, who's going to save me from this dead body? Well, you're alive, Paul. Yeah, but this thing is on the road to the ground. I need help now. What is the reality of the resurrection? Does it only take effect then? And if that was the case, the Lord wouldn't be doing and saying all the things that led up to this day, and like Gary said, the next day. When Jesus, he says, nobody takes my life, I lay it down, and I will, and he says, so that I can take it up again. That's our God. That's our Savior. It's not just hope for the day that you are in the ground. It's the day starting now until then. Hosea 13:14 says, Sheol has power. It has chains. It drags us down. It holds us down. And there's no escape. There's no hope. And I've mentioned this already. When you go to a funeral, there's so many people that don't have hope. And we talked about it. When Jesus cried, he poured out tears because he was moved and troubled and angered and all those things. But those people who were crying is a different word. They kept on sobbing. There was no hope, even though they knew Jesus. I know who you are. But there was no hope for them because they didn't realize the reality of the resurrection. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? He can't do this, and he can't do this. He can do that, but that's not enough. He can't do this. Where does our faith end? Where does it start and end? Verse 38a, then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. And you remember these words. Deeply moved means he was moved by a whole bundle of emotions. It was anger at a lack of faith. It was a sorrow for the women weeping. It was not because Lazarus was dead, because he was sleeping, according to the words of the Lord. Take a rest, Nazareth. You're just sleeping. Ecclesiastes 7 says, better the day of death than the day of birth. What is Jesus after? He's not after only conquering death. He's after so much more. I want to show you this scene out of Jonah. It's very interesting. Here's a man who was running from God. His faith was lacking, to say the least. He got into some kind of trouble when he was running from God. They threw him into the sea. And I just took bits and pieces of what it looks like in his life on the way to death. Okay? This is his life on the way to death. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish. He was in prison. He's in the belly. There's no way out. I called out to the Lord out of my distress, out of the belly of Sheol, hell, death, I cried. The flood surrounded me, all your waves and your billows passed over me. I am driven away from your sight. The waters closed in over to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed over me forever. My life was fainting away. To be frank with you, that's us. That is us. Now, we know we can't stop there. We know that we sit in a church and we know the hope that is in Jesus Christ. We know that that's not the end. But to be frank, that's our physical life. That's what it looks like. We are barred in. Paul says that we are groaning, creation groans, because we are on the way to the grave. Now think about, again, what are the percentage of Christians in the world? How many are going to heaven? How many realize Jesus Christ is their Savior and will be saved from the spiritual side of this? Because it's not just physical. It is spiritual. Here's a man who knows God, and yet God's not done with him. God's not done with Martha or Mary or even Lazarus or you and me. Verse 38, it was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. May as well have been 4 years. Well, it's very interesting, the speech that John is using here, the Holy Spirit is giving here. It's not Lazarus anymore that's dead. It's a man. And there's a stone. He's in a dark cave. He's been there 4 days. And there's an odor. I mean, this is looks pretty bad. Jesus, the Jews did not embalm. They did not stop the decay. They would wrap him in spices just to get rid of some of the smell. The death begins at birth, and then 4 days after death, it's pretty grisly. The heart stops. There's no oxygen to the blood. When you're lying down or wherever you're at, it pools at the lower portions of wherever you're at. It just pools as your body starts to decay. It drains away. The muscles stiffen, and all this in about 3 hours. By 24 hours, the body has lost all its heat. Rigor mortis has set in by 36 hours. By 72 hours, the rigor mortis has vanished. The body softens. The cells die. The bacteria takes over. Decomposition takes over. There's a smell. Kind of like methane, they say. It is the end of the flesh. But the end of life has started for everyone the day they were born. Notice, though, it's not the end of the spirit. There's a place for the spirit. That's ultimately our concern, because it is eternal life. But here's our problem. The part of sin that has corrupted our minds and our hearts keeps us in the here and now. I am only concerned about the here and now. And that is where basically your friends and your family, if they're unsaved, that's where they're at. And that's where you have to break through. The here and now. I'm fine. I'm living. I'm not in a hospital. I ate today. I'm fine. But the Lord has a conspiracy. And he's trying to wake us all up that death has already begun. And we're held by things that are corrupting us and holding us to death. look at this conspiracy on the dark side. Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And then the two sisters both say the exact same thing. They were in a conspiracy. They had been talking. They tell Jesus separately the exact same thing. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? A stone lay against it. There will be an odor. This is life on the way to death. This is what it looks like. And we are all bound by this stuff, except for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to think today that we are not waiting to be put in the grave to realize this. We should realize it now. When we realize this now, when we turn to Him for our hope, that hope brings peace and joy and comfort and changes your life. It changes your direction. It changes the way you handle your day and your morning and your family and your enemies and your work. When this joy comes into your heart and this peace and hope come into your heart, eternal life starts now. It starts now. Now, we still have the cave and the dark stones and the darkness around us to deal with. And the Lord has already said, remove them. Remove them. Lazarus was bound by the flesh. Lazarus was bound by disease. Lazarus was bound toward death. The Lord said he was ill. His destiny was the grave. Lazarus was bound by death. Lazarus was bound by a stone, by strips, by doubt, by fear. Put your name there in the place of Lazarus. I mean, at least before Jesus Christ, every single one of us are on that list. All of our names are on the far left. And then we start breaking those down. Listen, as the Lord calls your name and you realize it, you are free. You are freed from the grave and that thing that was out there, and a little bit sometimes easier to understand. Yeah, okay, I'll deal with that then. I believe that. But what about now? Are you free now? Are you free now? Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Who is he talking to? He's not talking to the dead person. He's talking to the so-called living. And he wants his children in particular. He wants the world. But he wants his children. He wants you and me to know this now. That with your spiritual eyes, with your spiritual understanding, with you guiding your plane rightly, knowing the pilot and reading the manual, you can see the glory of God right now, which gives you peace and comfort in your life now. The ability to overcome and endure, maybe not physical death, maybe not illness, because we're all headed there, unless the rapture comes first. But we're all headed there. And the Lord wants us to know that not to wait for the grave. It doesn't have to take place then. So Jesus talks to his father. In the middle of this group of people, this conspiracy is unveiled. The Lord out loud is going to say something to his father that him and his father have already discussed and went through. But he's going to say this for the good of those people who are trying to fly the plane right. He's going to say, Jesus said, take away the stone. So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. He's talking again to his believing children. Mary, Martha already said, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God. And yet he wants them to know more in a greater way. Are we going to see his glory in our life? Are we going to realize this in our life now? We don't have to wait for later in the grave. God's conspiracy is against death and all that it brings. Everything that it brings. Contempt, lies, sin, the Ten Commandments that you want to list. All those things that you and I battle every day. You know why he's doing this? And he wants us to understand this now. Listen, folks. If he wanted us to just understand that he raised himself from the grave, that he was the Savior and he died for us and raised, that would have been chapter one. But he didn't do that. In fact, the next thing he's going to say in chapter 14 is that death has no claim on me. He says, the ruler of this world is coming and he has no claim on me. And so the one who has no claim on him has claimed you, has called your name. Have you heard? When he was standing by your grave when you were dead, did you hear his voice say, come out? Unbind him? Unbind her? Let her loose. Because that happened a long time ago. That happened a long time ago. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Chapter 1 says, in him was life, in him is life. 1 Peter 3:19, he proclaimed to the spirits in prison because he was not in prison. Because there's no claim on him and there's no claim on you. Jesus is talking to the dead here when he says, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man, again, a man who had died came out and his hands and feet bound with linen and strips and his face wrapped with cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. These words here are not simply there for detail. They are there to say that when Jesus said, let him go, he is free, and he is free indeed. When you are free, you are free indeed. Now, I know that you're talking to, you know, the kettle here. I know that I don't feel it sometimes. I don't feel like I'm free. I feel like I'm still in a dark cave and I don't understand everything. I can't see everything. And there's a stone in front of me and I can't push it off. And I can't be released from some of the things that hinder me. But there's still things that the Lord has to work through in my life, in all of our lives, to know that we are free indeed. Right now, not the day that you die. Look at Isaiah. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who stretched them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and you will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open the eyes of the blind, to free captives from prison. Is he talking about literal prison? Sometimes. Is he talking about literal physical blindness? Sometimes. And to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. He is not generally talking about the physical. He is talking about setting us free in this life. Are you free? I mean, do you feel a sense of joy? Can you live in it? I'm not trying to say muster up some kind of feeling in you. I'm trying to say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved now, not just at the grave. You can be free from those things now. Lord, I don't feel like it. Neither did Lazarus. Lord, I can't see it. Neither did Martha and Mary. Lord, I certainly can't hear it, except sometimes maybe on a Sunday morning, and then not very good. I don't hear it clearly. His word is very clear that we have been set free in the here and now. The sting of death is sin, the power of sin. And then he says, Paul, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Hosea 13, I will ransom them from the power of Sheol. I will redeem them from death. Again, where, O death, are your plagues? Where, O death, is your sting? Compassion is hidden from my eyes. There's a conspiracy that we can understand if we know God. It's hidden, but it's plain sight if we believe. The reality of the resurrection starts now. Isaiah 25, he will swallow up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from every face and remove the disgrace of his peoples from the whole earth, for the Lord has spoken. Is that distant future? I don't believe so. 2 Timothy, he has saved us. Now listen to these three short sentences. 2 Timothy 1:9, he has saved us and called us. Come out! Romans 1:6, and you also are among those who are called. 1 Corinthians 1:26, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were noble birth. All of you were dying. All of you were in sin. All of you were on the way to the grave, but you were called. And the Lord said, move those straps, move the stone, come out of the cave into the light, because it's not then, it's now. The physical manifestations of his power, when he healed the paralytic, when he healed the blind man, when he's doing those things in the physical, is to let you know that it's not just the spiritual. It doesn't happen just at the grave. It happens now. These are spiritual. The eternity, he says, the Bible says that our hope is in the eternal, but the eternal starts now. I'll end with this brief little thought. John the Baptist came, and we see him preaching and saying some very strong and courageous words against the Pharisees. He was out in the desert by himself for the longest time, filled with courage. And then when his mission was over and he went to face the grave, he was in prison. He was in prison when he was alive. And he sent messengers to Jesus Christ. And he said, are you the one that we were supposed to look for? And Jesus did not say to him, you'll find out at the grave. Sorry, in a few days, the king is going to take your head off for some woman. How dark can we get? It's not that day, John, I want you to know. This is how John was to know. This is how you are to know that we are free today. Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Wait for the grave if you want. Or believe right now and be free from the stone and strips that bind you. Those dark things that bind you. Just know that you have been released. Well, I'm still struggling. Paul says we haven't struggled yet to the point of shedding blood. We're not going to shed our blood for our own sins. Christ has done that. But we are going to struggle right up to the grave. And I'm going to struggle, hopefully. You'll help me, right? You'll help me know that from this moment on to the grave, I will have hope no matter what my face looks like. No matter how I talk to my wife, she'll let me know. Because there's hope now. We've been freed now. When he called our name, when our names were written in the Lamb's book of life, we were called then and free then. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. Lord, we worship you and praise you. Thank you so much for your grace. Lord, help us to realize this today in our life. We can walk out of here like we've been released from prison. Like we've been released from the cave with a stone against it. We've been sitting in the dark, not understanding. Maybe we've even heard this, Lord, but we need to be reminded that we're free now. We can rejoice now. I pray for every heart here, Lord, that you will release them, that you will let them have joy and know joy and spread joy to those people who do not have it. And we pray this in your holy and blessed name. Amen.